Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the XYZ Experiment podcast. I am Luke, your Gen Z, and I'm joined today with Dash, your Gen Y. And I've just been talking with Dash off recording about my schooling last 6 or so months before I graduate. And basically, I'm at this point where I'm doing a lot of placement work, you know, in quotation marks for me, work. And then I'm coming home and doing a lot of coursework. And I think this last 6 months in particular, I felt this really complicated relationship with learning. I love the concept of learning. I love being immersed in subjects. And I'm really fortunate that at this point, my passions, what I'm really kind of interested in and want to be pursuing in life, really align with what I'm learning about, which I think is very rare. When you find that, you really want to hold on to that. But at this point in time, I'm just kind of like, I don't have the capacity to be doing much learning. And so I was kind of thinking, okay, well, it's all right. I can do more learning when I'm done with all of this coursework related stuff. And that just got me thinking, you know, as part of being a psychologist, you have like personal development quotas you have to fulfill, where you're learning different things. But I'm just curious about outside of, I guess, you know, tertiary education, secondary education, wherever you are, what does learning look like?
It's so interesting your opening about where you're at the moment, because I guess for me, you know, I grew up being a migrant to this country and my mum drilling into me the one thing, you know, my family came, escaped a civil war, had to leave everything behind. And the one thing my mum always said to me is education is something no one can take away from you. And so education, and interested in your thoughts about this, like that formal process of learning was drilled into us as the most important thing that you can do in your life, and having education attainment, so getting quite far in that educational degree or that spectrum. So it's not just, you know, primary, secondary. It was then, you know, do a master's and then do a PhD, were very valued kind of formal elements of learning. But I remember when I was in the last 12 months of my PhD and in the year afterwards, I really struggled to do anything that was learning beyond writing a thesis, doing what was needed to just get to that hurdle. And I don't feel like that's talked about enough, like the burnout that can come from the requirements of formal education. So that would be my reflection at the moment, I guess.
Yeah. And I feel the exact same way. And I feel like I've finally reached that point. And I'm very fortunate. It was at the last 6 months that I'm feeling like this. But I've definitely gone from I'm fully immersing myself in this topic to this assignment needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Just put your energy into that. Because when that's done, you've got time to do anything else. And there's no stress associated with like passive learning or learning after that. Speaking of that, because I guess what I was also interested in, and also I really hear you when you were talking about the value of education. I feel like growing up, I was afforded a lot of freedom in my childhood because of my dedication to like to education, that rhymed. But I think that my grandparents, my parents, they didn't really see much concern in me because I was quite committed to my education. And as a result, things like stopping sports or spending time with friends or, you know, playing a lot of video games and stuff, that was never monitored because my family was like, that's all right, because he's learning, he's going to uni.
Yeah.
And even like, yeah, up until like, because I'm 27 this year, that's quite late to not be fully working. In the grand scheme of things.
Is it? I don't know. I feel like there's more and more people. Anyway, keep going.
Yes, I hear that. But I think just generally speaking, even though we're coming into a new time, comparatively to the last 30 years, I think being almost 30 and not working full time is probably a little bit strange. But my grandparents, if I was studying, they were like, cool, that's what you should be doing. What I'm wondering, Dash, is when you think about, I guess, then post-studying learning, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I was reflecting even I've got two stories for you. So, I was a absolute obsessive reader as a child. I learnt not through anything that I was formally taught through school, but I learnt a lot through reading. And I just have this vivid memory of I think it was a grade 5 or 6 camp, and I think I was in grade 5, and we had a trivia event. And I could answer every single question. Like I smashed through every single round. And I think I was shocking the teachers, like how much I knew about history and how much I knew about like world events and just random pieces of information. And I was like accumulating this big pile of lollies because that was what they were giving us. And I remember even like cracking into it while I was still up there playing trivia. And I just remember at that point having this realization. Oh, I know so much because I'm learning outside of a formal situation. And so, since working and post PhD, I remember when I handed in my PhD, I really like struggled to read. I really struggled to do anything. I just was watching TV. I was health-wise not great. And so then I made this distinct effort and I said, I've got to start a book club. Because I have to have an accountability to get back into reading, because I knew that was a way to read. But these days, I am desperate to learn. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, ours obviously, but I also listen to heaps of others on topics that I know career-wise or leadership-wise or just relationship-wise, I think are going to be important. And so I've been listening to a lot about artificial intelligence. I've been listening a lot about workplace culture and all of those different things and learning from those, but it wouldn't be, I'm not going to do a sh you know what it is? I've toyed up the idea of doing an MBA, so a master, what does that stand for? A Master's of Business
Business.
Administration.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, I was like, should I do an MBA? And then they're very expensive. Or is it enough that I am learning through these platforms? And I went, you know what? I think I'm doing okay just learning through these informal podcasts, reading books, talking to people type of scenario. So yeah, it's more fun, Luke, I promise. Like once it's post studying and you're like learning because you're interested or learning because it's relevant to what you need to be knowing in a workplace context, but it's not formal. It's a very different dynamic.
That's really interesting, that idea of learning maybe adjacently to whatever it is that you're doing in your day-to-day life. One thing that I want to ask you, this is a real curveball question, but basically, whenever I'm doing a module, and I'm sure that this is probably the same with anyone that's studied before, at the beginning of every module, they have what they call the learning outcomes.
Oh, yeah.
Or once you've completed this module, you should be knowing a little bit about these things. In terms of that learning that you're doing through podcasts or articles that you're reading, do you have any learning outcomes in mind? Because we also know that when it comes to learning, if it's not kind of incorporated into practice pretty early on, you kind of lose it all. Is there a way that, and I'm maybe even this podcast, like consolidating the information by chatting amongst friends is a way of, that's a
Of
learning
learning.
outcome, I suppose. But do you have that in mind when you're doing things? I've got a story for this, that's why I'm asking you.
Okay, so I think one of the things that I've learned as I've gotten older, so I'm turning 42 this week, and I am 12-ish years post PhD. So that's why I was like laughing before because I submitted my PhD at the age of 30, right? So really, I can't count my like proper working life beginning post 30, even though I was doing like RA work and other research jobs before then. So one of the things that I have learned is you don't need to know everything to start doing something. And the learning outcomes I often seek when I am looking for podcasts or looking for books to read or looking for conversation or mentorship or whatever it might be is this recognition. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm okay with that. I'm going to do it anyway. But who do I need to talk to or what do I need to be doing to start learning the language, to start learning the basics so I can keep progressing? And I think I have found that the most freeing part because, you know, there's that saying that gets thrown around all the time that the jobs that we're going to be working in aren't yet even created. And I think we have to kind of go, it's okay not to know things from our formal education. Sort of like, seriously, I've been like, should I have become a software engineer? Because that's literally the space I feel like I'm working in now. And so that's my learning outcome. And I think I look for three things: knowledge, I look for encouragement, and I look for almost like a futuristic what's coming next. And so they're the three things that I want to get out of any of the things that I engage with.
That just kind of clicked something in my brain, Dash, when you said that, because you're right. I think that the way that I've been conceptualizing learning is about, I guess, consolidation of information and practical ability, applicability. But you've actually illustrated a third really, really important factor as well, which is still kind of, I guess, nourishing and developing that capacity for flexibility.
Yeah.
And being able to change. And the reason that I brought up that learning outcome was because I became a member of the APS, just like a student member, the Australian Psychological Society. Yeah,
the Australian Psychological Society, yeah.
Yes. And as part of becoming a member, I got access to all of these kind of PD webinars. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is so cool. And I went through and I smashed through, I would say maybe 7 or 8 of them in the first weekend that I was a member. This was, you know, for those of you who aren't super familiar, the APS offers a lot of kind of PD training, things that a lot of, as part of being a psychologist, there's a certain amount of professional development hours that you need to be reaching every year to make sure that as a practitioner, you're staying up to date with all like relevant research, which is really important in our practice. And I don't need to be doing this now. I need to be doing assignments, but here I am still was doing them on the weekend. And then I remember finishing that and being like, whoa. And I'm not saying the webinar quality wasn't good, because they were, but I remember finishing that being like, that was all useless in a sense, because it was
information.
Why
did you say it was useless?
Could I actually give you any information about any of the ones that I watched? No. Was it super practical or relevant to what I was doing at the time? No. Was I interested? Possibly, but maybe it was more this push of let's just get some more information for the sake of it. And it was interesting hearing that flexibility, because I think that, yeah, when I'm more kind of just, sorry, out of curiosity, passively learning something, like finding a YouTube video on, as you said, something like the relationship between AI and writing, for example, I've learned more out of that and found that more rewarding process than going out of my way to like do random PD stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that, yeah, that really spoke to me. And just going back to what you were saying before, so for you, the way that you like learning is more of a kind of a personal, unstructured format of things like podcasts, articles.
Yeah. I love reading news articles or different, like the Saturday paper or the Atlantic or the New York Times, which if you have a subscription to everyone is very expensive, but I do not. And so I sometimes ask my friends to send me articles that I know that they have got a subscription to. So it is very unstructured. But coming back to what you were saying, I'm just going to ask, do you feel like listening to those webinars, do you feel like you experienced a sense of guilt because it didn't align with what you were supposed to be achieving in that moment of time?
I actually think it was the opposite. I actually think it was a really important and a really important thing for me to realize was that I have a habit definitely of this is what I need to be really, this is the priority should be this, but instead I'm doing a bunch of adjacent learning, which I think is valuable. And sometimes it is, but often it could be, but it's not necessarily. And then it contributes to the core stuff that I should be learning is kind of put to the side.
Do you feel like it's a bit of a weird procrastination, but not?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And so that's why I wanted to talk about learning today, because I think it's really interesting that when I've been learning the content that I'm actually meant to be, it's been super interesting. When I'm learning things totally unrelated to psychology, I'm feeling like that sense of reward and interest, and like it's actually fulfilling some sort of need for me. But in terms of this like weird adjacent learning, which I think that we can all kind of get stuck in, that idea of, okay, there's a certain thing that I want to be good at or a certain thing I want to learn about. Let's go on the internet and find out the best, you know, learn about AI or learn about best motivational kind of quotes or techniques, morning techniques, things like that. It's really easy to get caught in that loop. And particularly with things like algorithms, right? If you show that you're interested in like, I'm trying to think of an example. Yeah, even like, let's just use morning routines as an example, that you're on that algorithm for 6 months of just getting morning routines over and over, which feels super relevant, but actually isn't.
Yeah,
and so,
so true.
Just thinking about when you're working full time and you don't have that much time to learn, but learning is like outside of work, but learning is really important. How do you go about making sure that what you're learning is just a rewarding experience?
I have a little team meeting with the people working on projects with me, which doesn't happen that often. I think we only have it once a month. But part of that, we all talk about, you know, what we're reading or listening to. And then quite a few people then read the same book or will engage in the same podcast or the TV show. Like there's a lot of TV shows that come up that we talk about. And because work can be so busy, I feel like as someone who is supervising and managing people, I want almost in my narrative to give a permission to engage in something outside of work, like, and not to feel guilty for it. And even if it is during work time, like if there's an interesting webinar you want to go to that might not be related to the topic that you're researching or being paid, like I want people to be able to do that, because I feel like, coming back to one of your points before, it makes our brains make connections in ways that you may not do otherwise. Like if you're kind of siloed and single focused on just one thing, you stop thinking laterally. And I think it's those types of things. So I think as a full-time worker, it's super important. And you know what? I can 100% tell the people who aren't learning in an adulthood.
Wow. What are you seeing?
Well, you can, maybe I'm being harsh, but I feel like when you're having conversations and all they can do is talk about work or family, that to me is a little, so you don't, they might not know about world events that are happening. They're not telling me about the latest book that they read. They're not talking to me about things that they've listened to or heard, or, you know, even cultural events that they might have gone to and found fascinating. Like if the conversation is very much just about single topics, then I'm kind of like, so what do you do for fun? Or what do you do to expand your mind? So that's kind of one of the things I look for.
Do you think that, because I'm just trying to, again, as we talk, lots of things are clicking into place. Do you think that, and I know that we've all experienced this before, when you hear about something, whether it's related to true crime, which I know that comes up a lot on this podcast with a lot of different people, or any kind of story, or as you said, historical event, do you think that those deep dives that we tend to do, whether it's over a night or something where you go down that rabbit hole, that is an example of like that kind of real nourishing, rewarding type of learning?
Okay. So one thing I have learned is we can have all similar behaviors, but the motivation that is behind that behavior can be different. So I feel like if your motivation behind going down a rabbit hole and searching up and reading up and doing those things is because you are very interested in that topic and you are genuinely trying to gain knowledge or gain some kind of information or assurance or encouragement or whatever it might be, then I think that's a different motivation to spiraling, procrastinating, or going down some kind of, and true crime is a really good example of this. And I 100% did it through, I know Fiona and I did an episode on true crime and the mushroom trial that happened in Victoria. But now I have on my algorithms videos coming up on how to identify death cap mushrooms. Because I obviously spiraled one night and just went down this weird thing of being like, what do they look like? how poisonous are they? How much do you need to ingest to die? Like, you know, all of, and that's actually not a helpful thing because I'm not going to engage in death cap mushrooms.
I don't think you will, no.
I don't know if that answers your question, though.
No, it does. Yes. Final question for you, Dash.
I feel like you've asked all the questions today. I should ask you back more.
No, I'm trying to learn. This is great. Say you're an individual that maybe upon listening to this podcast is thinking, am I learning? Am I feeling like maybe I'm a bit disengaged from that part of living? I'd like to just be more engaged in learning in whatever way that is. And as we've said, it's not necessarily about the subject and more about the openness and the flexibility to learn about different things or to be immersed. What would you recommend that someone that's wanting to build, and what it sounded like at the beginning when we were talking about, you were saying that finishing your PhD, it was quite hard and learning had to be almost scheduled like anything else. What would you recommend someone does to begin scheduling or creating that learning and bring it back into their life?
And you're going to have to answer this question too, but I don't know if you feel like you know the answers to it, but yeah, because it might be something you're deep in at the moment. I think I would start small. So to give you an example, last year I found really, really hard. Like it was a really hard year with work and I wrote way too many grants and I was doing way too many things and work became all consuming. And so I kind of was like, okay, the balance is off. And I always do at the end of the year a post of the books that I read, and I only read 12 books, which, you know, for some people they'll be like, oh, that's pretty good. Like that's a book a month. But there were weeks where I didn't read anything because I was so exhausted and I was just on social media looking at reels, which, you know, to be fair, I learned a lot about dogs doing that and different recipes, which I'm never going to cook, mind you. So then I made it a thing this year that, no, the priority is reading. You have to read, and you need to be, goal is to read a fiction and a nonfiction book or be engaging in those at the same time. And I think I'm up to 18 books so far this year, which is a lot higher, but it's not about the number for me. It was more about what am I taking away from it? And I think one of the things that we didn't touch on is how does it make you feel actually when you're switching your brain off from something that could be very task oriented or could be very stressful or could be very all consuming to something that is meant to bring you joy, new knowledge, encouragement. I think you can get a very different feeling of contentment. And even if it's like 5 minutes that you do, I think that's a really important thing to incorporate. Do I get it right all the time? No. And I did just submit a grant yesterday. So there were quite a few days the last couple of weeks where I didn't do any informal learning. But I do think it's important. But what would you say to that?
Yeah, those are some really great points. Obviously, I'm in the throes of things at the moment.
Yeah.
So this is more just what I'm noticing than anything. But I think that particularly my generation, there is this real obsession with operationalizing everything. Everything has to have, and I, you know, kind of fell into it a little bit just before when I was talking about outcomes, but everything has to have a purpose. There has to be a reason why you're doing everything. And again, that can lead to a really siloed approach to just engaging with the world. But I think what I noticed is the beginning of learning, and it might sound obvious, but there's a difference between something being obvious and something being lived, is curiosity.
Yeah.
I think you've just got to try your hardest to, no matter how engaged you are in what you're doing, is to always be curious. And the way that I know when I'm not being curious is when you're talking to someone and they start talking about topics that you aren't super, super interested in. It's quite easy to be like, cool, this conversation doesn't have much value, I'm going to close it down, instead of being like, let's keep going. And so being curious is the first part. I'd say the second part is then when you notice that you're curious about something is to just explore it in a purposeless way. And you do that in whatever medium you feel the most engaged with to begin with, because that's also going to dictate your enjoyment of learning. So for me, I know that I love YouTube, I love video essays. And so when you find something you're curious about, just go forth and just explore it in whatever way you want. And don't necessarily worry about what the outcome of it will be, because in going and exploring it and investing your attention into it, in letting it change the way that you see different things, that I think is what kind of the core of learning is.
I really love that. I love that message of being curious. I don't think people think about that enough. And yeah, that's a really beautiful way of summing that up.
Thanks. Hey guys, it's Luke here. Thanks so much for listening to the XYZ Experiment podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a like, follow, and tell your friends and family about us.